A curfew extended for the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, as the city braces for a fourth night of unrest following the shooting death of 20-year-old Dante Wright. Kim Potter, the former police officer who captured on video shooting Wright, is now under arrest. Potter is charged with second-degree manslaughter. The charge carries a maximum penalty of 10 years behind bars. Dr. Lorenzo Boyd is vice president for diversity and inclusion at the University of New Haven. He also conducts civil rights training for police departments. He spoke with Dimitri, who asked Boyd what he thinks about the manslaughter charge against the former officer in Wright's death.
I definitely think that she should have been charged. I thought she should have been immediately fired or certainly removed from her position. I also think that the charge, based on the little bit that we know, is an appropriate charge. It couldn't have been murder one, because that needs to be premeditation, deliberation, malice aforethought. I don't think that's what it was. It could legitimately have been a mistake on her part, but mistakes have consequences, and you need to answer to those mistakes. So, yeah, I definitely think second degree is an appropriate charge.
One of the Wright family's attorneys, a well-known civil rights attorney, Ben Crump, says this shooting was no accident. He says this was intentional, deliberate, and unlawful use of force.
Now, that's speculative, and I know Ben Crump. A taser weighs about a half a pound, and a loaded Glock 17 weighs about 2.5 pounds. So the weight is different. The taser tends to be really, really bright yellow, and her Glock was black. The handles are very different. And she stuck it out in front of herself when she yelled, "Taser, taser, taser." She was looking down the barrel of her gun. So could it have been a mistake? I guess it could have been, but I don't know that this was necessarily intentional.
I wanted to widen the lens a little bit to all of the country's police departments, from the tiniest towns that just have one or two people to the big metropolitan areas. I would have thought, with all of the world's attention on policing in our country, that some of these shootings, mistakes or otherwise, would have diminished a little bit.
Actually, I'm not surprised at that at all, because each individual department is run like an individual fiefdom. So there's no overarching national standards. There's no national training. And a lot of people, because, you know, we're America and we're individualistic, they don't want national standards. But I think now is the time for national standards. The other problem that I have was the woman that did the shooting here, she was a 26-year veteran. She was a training officer at the time. So a lot of stuff had to have gone bad or had to have gone poorly for this to happen. But we still see this over and over again. And then the 10 days following the murder of George Floyd, there were multiple officers that were on video putting their knee on the neck or head of other people that they were arresting, because that's a technique that many departments are taught. You would think that people would see what's going on around them and do something differently. But again, people don't think it's going to be them. They don't think that they're going to get caught, or they don't think it's going to go to that issue.
What about implicit bias here, that a person of color behind the wheel, let's say, during a traffic stop, are they automatically seen by police as more dangerous? Is that why this is happening?
A person of color is more likely to get killed by the police than a white person is. I can tell you that a driver is more likely to be arrested and searched if they're black than if they're white. So whether or not they are seen as less than human, that's speculative, but the data speaks for itself. If you look at the traffic stop data, look at the racial profiling data, look at the arrest data, look at the conviction data, look at the incarceration data, the system is skewed. This is not just a policing problem. We can't say police are simply biased. America is biased. And police come from America. So if we hang this just on the police, then we're releasing the rest of our society from any sort of ill will here. And I think that's not fair. There's a significant number of police officers that are harmed by these actions. There's a significant number of police officers that are trying to do the right thing. But having these bad apples in there, having these few officers do these really harmful things, it's an indictment on all of policing altogether.
When one is pulled over by police, I think immediately that driver, whoever he or she is experiencing some fear. I just think that's natural. Can you talk about fear that police officers are feeling that would cause them to draw their gun?
Well, part of the problem is the way that we train police officers. It's always the us versus them scenario. And they say this traffic stop could be your last traffic stop. Technically, that's true. But to be honest, this interview could be our last interview. And statistically, fewer police officers are killed in the line of duty now than over the last several years. To find a year where police officers were feloniously killed in the line of duty, you'd have to go back to the Nixon administration to find it that safe. So let's understand that policing is not as dangerous as we want to say it is. It's absolutely dangerous, but the felonious deaths are much lower. The thing we're not talking about, if a police officer is likely to die, they tend to die at their own hand because police suicide outpaces police homicide for 3 years in a row. So when we talk about fear, we need to talk about where fear really lies.
But I also thought with the changeover at the White House, with a president that does not tweet out incendiary comments, who does not tweet when the looting starts, the shooting starts, with Joe Biden being somebody who's bringing down the temperature, I thought that might help too. It does not seem to have changed things much.
It's like turning a battleship. It's going to take a really long time. And policies change pretty rapidly, but culture doesn't change. We're really quick to change a policy in a department, but the culture in policing is often problematic. And remember, culture eats policy for breakfast. Until we can change the actual practice, changing the policy and the procedures won't matter at all. It's funny when you look at the video, the other two officers had a real look of shock on their face when she discharged her weapon. Nobody was expecting that. Maybe she wasn't expecting that. But the bottom line is, it's not about whether or not it's a mistake. It's whether or not it actually happened. Instead of talking about the looting or rioting or protesting that's happened, that's the smoke. We need to talk about the fire. The thing that's really criminal is another unarmed person of color was killed by the police. That's what's really criminal.
Lorenzo Boyd, Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion at the University of New Haven, he was on Skype.